Well, good morning once again. I had a great time away on vacation, and we're glad to be back here. And I just want to mention a few things just to catch up with everyone today. First off, it's not in my notes, but I just wanted to clarify something. Before I left, I said something that was kind of wrong, but kind of right. Sometime before I left, I said, hey, it's an exciting place to be here because we have about 7 women who are pregnant at the time that I said that. And of course, the women typically know better than the men who's pregnant and who's not. And so I went home, and some of the women were texting Heather and saying, there's not 7 women who are pregnant, there's only 6. I thought to myself for a second, I said, you know what, we'll respond in this way. I said, in a joking way, I said, it was either I was wrong or I was being prophetic. And guess what happened? We go on vacation, and I find out that not only one extra woman is pregnant, but 2. So at the time we were away, we had 8 women who were pregnant that we knew of. And we just had one of those people was Jared and Rita, and they had a baby boy named Dawson. So congratulations. And that was announced last week, so the church family should already know that. Yeah. And congratulations, of course, to Gary and Kathy Voss, the grandparents. Also, just to catch up, I think the church family knows this, but I just want to pass on my condolences to Steve and the loss of his mother and the Coop family. They just had their funeral this past Friday, so we should just remember to keep them in prayers. I want to thank those while I was away who preached in my absence. We had some various pastors and elders, which was a fun thing to do. We had Dan Wolf and Randy Thompson, Ken Gibbs, Vern Brown, and Harold Weeb, and Josh Hook. And I just want to say, listen to most of them. I just haven't listened to Josh's yet, just because it just didn't work out that way. But one of the things I appreciated about everyone who spoke in that series and 1 Peter, I really appreciated the passion behind their voices. Just how they love the Lord and just want to express God's truth and God's word to our church family here. One of the things that Randy Thompson gave a challenge, he challenged you, if you have not gotten baptized yet, you should get baptized. And I just want to remind you that if you have not gotten baptized, we have a baptismal service coming up at the end of September, our membership dedication and baptism service. And so there's just a little bit of a quick plug for that. I also want to say this. I came back from vacation, I settled in, and I got a really, really awesome text on Friday. Albert Trombley had sent me a text and says, Ryan, I want to receive Jesus. It's time for me to do that. And so, hold it together, Ryan, yeah. There he is over there. Yeah. Yeah. So I know there's been a number of people praying for you, including myself, Albert, and it was a privilege to help you make that decision. So that was probably the best treat when I came back from vacation. I gotta stop crying here. I'm lost. What do I do here now? Congratulations, Albert. He's a new brother in Christ, and he's planning on getting baptized at the end of September. Just want to again remind you that we have this awesome event coming up, RibFest, and you know one of the best ways we can promote this is if we all just grab 2 or 3 of these invitations and pass them out to whoever, somebody in your life. That's the most effective way to advertise and bring people along. We have a sign that's spitting out phrases about the RibFest, but there's nothing beats a personal invite. You should know that on that Sunday is September 13th, I'm going to start a new sermon series. I'm entitling it The Super God Man. We're going to be preaching out of the Gospel of Mark, and I think Mark kind of portrays Jesus as a bit of a super God man. And so we'll have some fun in that series. But for now, there's 2 weeks we're in between series, and so I've just decided that we're going to be preaching out of the Psalms for the next 2 weeks. And so the 2 Psalms that we're going to be focusing on is Psalm 91 and Psalm 103. And so that being said, let me just start with a word of prayer, and we'll jump right into Psalm 91. Lord, we pray that you would teach us from your word today. Lord, we thank you for all the good things you're doing at Grace Church. Thank you, Lord, for our new brother in Christ, Albert Trombley. I pray that you would bless him and protect him. Lord, we thank you for being our protector, as this psalm describes. And we pray, Lord, that all of us would make the decision to trust in you today, Lord, and especially those who maybe are here but haven't trusted in you, Lord, as their protector, that they would do that this morning. And we just pray all these things in your name, Jesus. Amen. So the book of Psalms is a beautiful book. It contains 150 psalms. And now the neat thing about psalms is that on one hand, they include important theological truths. On the other hand, they include often include very intense and honest human emotion. And sometimes these two different things collide into a beautiful mix of the two sides. The psalms' style is poetic. You might say it's even artsy. The psalms are often accompanied by music. And as I've interacted with people who have read through the Bible, in particular the psalms, most people, or at least a lot of people, will say that they have a favorite psalm, and they'll go ahead and tell me why. It almost feels like someone is talking about their favorite song. You know, we all go through different experiences in our life, and sometimes we have songs or psalms in our life that help us connect with those tragic or exciting experiences in our life. And that's pretty much what a psalm is. A psalm is a song in some ways. And so I'm going to share with you over the next couple weeks some of my favorite psalms, and Psalm 91 is one of my favorites. It speaks of God's protection. And although we don't know for sure, it's possible that the writer of this psalm was either Moses or David. And that's kind of important to remember for a second, because although the writer speaks of God's protection, they certainly would have been well aware, that life is full of trouble and sorrow, as a previous psalm, Psalm 90, gives reference to. Now, Psalm 90 would have been written by Moses, and he would have been well aware of the trials and sorrows that people go through. I mean, if it was one of these writers, they would have been well aware that of the story of Job, the Israelites in slavery in Egypt, their wanderings in the desert, many battles fought with surrounding nations. They would have been well aware that sometimes bad things happen to good people, but yet they talk about God's protection. And so I want to say that the writer of this psalm was very likely not ignorant of these things. That sometimes life was full of pain and suffering. And I'm sure the writer or the psalmist would have lived long enough to experience suffering and pain in their own life. But the writer goes on to talk about God's special protection for those who love him. And, you know, even though this life is full of heartache and trial, the Lord still protects those he loves. And so, yes, God protects us physically in many ways, but I think there's something else that this psalm is getting to. He does protect us in this life. He does protect us physically, but there's something else that he provides as well, and we're going to get to that as we move through this psalm. So Psalm 91, if you have your Bibles. If not, the psalm is going to be projected on the screen behind me. You should know, just before we jump in, that the psalm is kind of divided into five sections. The first four sections, there's a bit of a pattern. And then the fifth section is a bit of a twist. And we'll get to that when we get to it, of course. So we're going to start in Psalm 91, verse 1. Excuse me. Okay, so the first section before I read it, actually, it's an invitation to protection. So the psalmist is inviting us to receive God as our protector. So he says this in the first two verses. Those who live in the shelter of the Most High will find rest in the shadow of the Almighty. This I declare about the Lord. He alone is my refuge, my place of safety. He is my God, and I trust him. Notice there's four different names for God. The Most High. Number two, the Almighty. Three, the Lord. And four, my God. Notice that we find shelter in him. We find refuge in him. We find safety in him. And so we feel a strong sense of confidence and trust in these words. And furthermore, those who trust in God will experience his protection. And so again, let me just remind you that this is somewhat of an invitation. The psalmist is giving us an invitation to trust in God. Trust in him as our rock, as our refuge. And so as a result, I'm just going to subtly do the same thing here. If you have not received Christ Jesus and God as your rock, as your fortress, as your protector, I want to invite you today to do that. And if you have not done that, you're going to have an invitation at the end of the service to receive God as your rock, as your fortress, as your protector. So that's the first section, an invitation. The second section is forms of protection. So in other words, here are some examples. The psalmist is going to give us some examples now as to how God does protect us. And as you read this section, I want you to kind of reflect on maybe some stories in the Bible or maybe some stories in your own life of how God has protected you in these ways. So we're going to go jump over to verse 3 to 8. Okay, section number 2. For he will rescue you from every trap and protect you from deadly disease. He will cover you with his feathers. He will shelter you with his wings. His faithful promises are your armor and protection. Do not be afraid of the terrors of the night, nor the arrow that flies in the day. Do not dread the disease that stalks in darkness, nor the disaster that strikes at midday. Though 1,000 fall at your side, though 10,000 are dying around you, these evils will not touch you. Just open your eyes and see how the wicked are punished. There's a lot of stories that come to mind when I read this passage, but I want to share with you a few stories that come to mind as I read these verses. And the first story, if you've never read it, is found in Isaiah 36 and 37, one of the most amazing stories of God's protection. Where basically the king of Assyria, King Sennacherib, he comes to Jerusalem with this giant of an army. And he has just defeated all sorts of nations. He's even defeated some portions of Judah. And he's coming with his chest up, his nose up, and he's just walking like he's the king of the world. He's knocking on Jerusalem's door, and he's like, you guys better give up, you guys better surrender, because we're coming through. And not only that, he's not only mocking the Israelites, but he's also mocking God. He's mocking all the other gods that of the nations that he just conquered. And he said, you know what, I've conquered all these gods, and your God is no different. I'm coming in, you better give up. And so you can imagine that the Israelites, they were distressed. And so what did they do? I mean, they had nothing else to do. They had nothing else they could do, so they sought the Lord. And so throughout the night, guess what happens? God sends an angel of the Lord to kill overnight 185,000 Assyrian soldiers. Boom. Done. And so you can imagine the next morning they wake up and there are corpses everywhere, and the king of Assyria, he just walks away in retreat. It was obviously very evident that the Lord God had protected his people in that very moment. Another story, we went through this Judges some time ago, that series, and we looked at the story of Gideon. And the other thing I want to say about this is that, you know, this psalmist is talking about numbers, though 1,000 fall at your side, though 10,000 are dying around you. If God is protecting you, it doesn't matter what the numbers say. Amen? It doesn't matter what ratio you're working with. And so Gideon, with his tiny army of 300 men, go to battle against an army of 135,000 people. And not only does Gideon defeat this army with God's help, but he actually is chasing them down. His small little tiny army is chasing them down. The size of his army was like less than a quarter of a percent than the army that he was facing. And of course, God protects them and helps them through that battle. Maybe more of a personal story. Back in high school, I met a friend at youth group when I was in high school. And at the time, he wasn't a Christian. And we developed a friendship. And over time, with God's help, we were able to lead him to the Lord. But around that time, just before we did that, he shared that he would often have demonic dreams at night. Dreams of, I don't know all the details, but dreams of dogs with red eyes chasing him down and just really other weird stuff that was happening. And he was freaked out by it. And so around the same time, we led him to the Lord, and we also encouraged him to embrace this specific psalm. This is one of the reasons this psalm is very important to me. We read this psalm over him. We encouraged him to embrace it. And he did that. And as soon as he embraced this psalm and he gave his life to Christ, those dreams, they went away. It was such an amazing thing to hear. And so in a similar way, I don't know, there might be someone here who might feel they are under some sort of spiritual oppression. It's a real thing in our world, and perhaps you need to claim these verses in this passage for yourself. And perhaps you may even want to come forward for prayer today if you are experiencing something along those lines. So the first section was an invitation to receive the Lord. The second section was, here are some specific examples as to how God protects us. Now the psalmist is going to go right back to the invitation. He's going to give us another invitation to come receive the Lord. And he says this in verse 9 and 10. He says, back to the invitation, if you make the Lord your refuge, if you make the Most High your shelter, no evil will conquer you, no plague will come near your home. Excuse me. So God is saying here, the psalmist is saying here, that God will protect his people, period. And again, an invitation to make the Lord your refuge. The psalmist is inviting us, and I'm inviting you as well, to make a decision to follow the Lord today if you have not done so in your life. And I certainly hope that you would make that decision today. So the invite happens. Here are forms of protection, section 2. Section 3, another invite is given. Section 4, here are some more examples as to how God protects his people, forms of protection. And as you read this passage again, I just want to encourage you to reflect on some stories, maybe in the Bible or even in your own life, as to how God protects you. Verse 11 through 13. For he will order his angels to protect you wherever you go. They will hold you up with their hands so you won't even hurt your foot on a stone. You will trample upon lions and cobras. You will crush fierce lions and serpents under your feet. I see angels, I see lions, I see serpents here, and that triggered a few thoughts in my mind. First off, I just want to say, you know, the Lord sends angels to protect us. And I just want to say, it's a very, very appropriate thing to ask God to send his angels to protect you. And if you know someone else who's in distress, pray that God would send his angels to protect whoever you're praying for. It's a good thing to do. But as I thought of angels, I thought of a few examples in Scripture as to how this took place. So if you recall, in Acts chapter 12, Peter was imprisoned. He was in chains. He was surrounded by guards right beside him. There were guards outside of his cell, and an angel comes through the night. He releases him from his shackles. I guess he blinds the guards. I don't know what the angel did, but Peter just walks out of this jail cell unharmed, and he's just totally free. God miraculously protects him. Also, in the book of Daniel, we had a message on Daniel's three friends, Rack, Shack, and Benny, the VeggieTale version. These guys are thrown into a fiery furnace, an intense fiery furnace. I mean, this furnace was so hot that the soldiers that were trying to put him in there, they were burned alive even though they weren't even thrown into the fire. And so here's the three guys. They're right in the center of this intense, burning, hot fire, and there's an angel that's in there and that's protecting them. And they walk out of this fire, and the scripture says they didn't even smell like smoke. Amazing. Not a scratch was on them. God had protected them. Later on in Daniel, we read in Daniel 6 that Daniel was thrown into a lion's den. And it describes how an angel was there protecting him from the lions. He was thrown in there overnight. I won't tell the whole story, but he was in there the whole night. And he came out in the morning without a scratch on him. And then what happens next, those responsible for throwing Daniel in there, they are then thrown into the lion's den. And before they even hit the floor, the scripture says they were torn apart. So God sends an angel to protect David or Daniel from lions. Maybe some other stories. Acts 28. It's quite a humorous story if you were to go home and read it yourself. But Paul, he's bitten by a poisonous snake. And the locals there, they knew the snake was crazy poisonous. And so they thought to themselves, my goodness, this guy's going to swell up or he's going to drop dead. So they were just waiting for Paul to, like, die because of the snake bite. But it turns out that he was totally unharmed. God had protected them from a snake bite. And actually, the story is humorous because they go from thinking when he got bitten, they thought, oh my goodness, this guy must be the worst criminal ever because justice is being served here. And when they find out that he wasn't going to die, they thought he was a god. Yeah, they went from one extreme to another. I recently heard a testimony from a Christian music artist. His name is Lecrae. And I told Albert this too the other night. There was a time in his life where he was considering making a decision to follow Jesus, but he had not made that decision yet. He was at this crossroads, and he was driving down the highway without a seatbelt. Driving down the highway, he gets into an accident, and the truck or car, whatever it was, it tumbles multiple times. The roof caves in, the windshield caves in, his glasses are bent into the frame of his vehicle, and when he comes to, he walks out without a scratch. And right then and there, he decides to give his life to Jesus. It was his wake-up call, so to speak. I think I've already told you this story of my life as well. When I was 2 years old, my brother and I, we found our way onto the roof by ourselves. And we were in our diapers running around the roof. My mom was doing the laundry in the basement. And anyways, I felt like jumping to my neighbor's roof. And my brother felt like it was a two-story house, so I would have been dead for sure. And my brother was thinking of jumping off the roof into the baby pool, you know, with this deep, you know. And I look back at that experience and I think, oh my goodness, there must have been angels on that roof protecting us from certain death. Crazy. I thought of Gary. You know, Gary just went through leukemia, and I think he would attribute his healing to the Lord. Aaron tells me a story of how he almost fell out of a crane a year ago or something like that, and they scared the heck out of him. Excuse my language if you don't like that word. Jason Miro has told us on multiple occasions that he should have died many times in his life, but he's felt the Lord's protection in his life in so many ways. I'm sure there's so many others in this room have can probably attribute different circumstances and stories in their life to say, my goodness, there must have been an angel by my side at that particular moment, at that particular time. God looks out for his children. He protects his people. And then we enter the final section of this psalm, and here's the twist. So we had the invite, we had the forms of protection. We had another invite from the psalmist, and then we had some other examples as to how God protects us. And here's the twist. The twist is that God himself is now speaking to us. It's no longer the psalmist. God himself is speaking directly to you, and he's directly inviting you to receive him. He says this, the Lord says, I will rescue those who love me. I will protect those who trust in my name. When they call on me, I will answer. I will be with them in trouble. I will rescue and honor them. I will reward them with a long life and give them my salvation. And so again, God is personally promising here in this passage, the final verses, to protect those who trust him. And he's inviting you to trust in him today. And now, here's an important point I want to make as well. We've talked about how God is protecting us physically and in this life, but you know, and although he does promise to protect us in this life, I think he really has eternity in mind. Consider what Jesus said in Luke chapter 12, verses 4 and 5. He says this. He says, dear friends, don't be afraid of those who want to kill your body. They cannot do any more to you after than that. But I'll tell you whom to fear. Fear God, who has the power to kill you and then throw you into hell. Yes, he's the one to fear. And so Jesus himself acknowledges that sometimes people are going to do bad stuff to us and to our bodies. But we're not to fear them. We're really the only person we need to be concerned about is God, and to fear him. Also consider the words in Isaiah 57, verses 1 and 2. It says, good people pass away. The godly often die before their time, but no one seems to care or wonder why. No one seems to understand that God is protecting them from the evil to come. For those who follow godly paths will rest in peace when they die. And so ironically, I think one of the ways that God protects us is that he kills us. He takes us home. He ends our life. It's maybe a more appropriate way to say that. I'm looking forward to die. I just can't wait. I'm looking forward to it. My heart just urges. I want to get out of here. I want to go to heaven so bad. And not that I don't love any of you or love my family. I love my family. I love my friends. I love my church. But I cannot wait to get out of this place. Looking forward to heaven so much. And I think that's one of God's forms of protection, is to say, okay, your time is up. Sweet. Time for me to go. Yes, God will protect us physically in this world at times, but it's ultimately going to be carried out in eternity. Remember the previous psalm, if you've ever read it, Psalm 90, they recognize the brevity of life, where it talks about this idea that we're just a dust in the wind, we're just so short. The writers of these psalms knew how short our life here was and often they had eternity in mind. In addition, I think we should take comfort knowing that when bad stuff does happen and when unfortunate incidents do happen, I think we need to take comfort in knowing that nothing in this life happens without God's knowledge or control. Whatever you're going through, He knows what you're going through, and He's well aware of the trial that you're facing. And so our God, our great protector, he is our great protector, and He promises to watch over those who trust in Him. And so with that being said, I want to invite the worship team to come back, and the prayer team can set themselves up. And like I said, in this psalm, the psalmist has invited you to trust in Jesus as your protector. And I want to do the same as well. Have you found rest in the shadow of the Almighty, as this passage gives reference to? Have you given your life to Him yet? I want to say that, man, you'll find no greater joy than to give your life to Jesus and to follow Him and to make Him your protector, your rock, and your salvation. And so if you want to do that today, if you want to make that decision, you do need to come forward and talk to someone on the prayer team. In addition to that, maybe you're experiencing, like I said before, some form of spiritual oppression. And I don't know, maybe you want some prayer for that. The prayer team would be happy to pray with you. And the Lord would be happy to meet with you today. And of course, like usual, if there's any other prayer need that you have in your hearts or minds that you want someone to pray with you with, you're welcome to come forward and pray. I'm going to invite you to stand, and I'm going to pray as we close off this message. Lord, there's nothing in this life that we can depend on, Lord, other than You. Even though troubles may come, Lord, thank You that You're a rock that we can put our trust in. Thank You, Lord, for Your protection in our life, and we're just so grateful and full of praise, Lord, for what You've done for us and how You've protected us. And we just pray all these things in Your name, Jesus. Amen.